Can you hear me now? Yeah, that's you now. Yeah. Okay, I'll start again. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item is ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphone works as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Thank you. Now, we'll move on to any apologies.
Sorry, Chair, can you just remind members to use their microphones? We can't hear that.
Yes, please use your microphone. So that's, sorry, Councillor.
Councillor Fien.
Councillor Fien. Anybody else?
Councillor Enright.
And Councillor Henry Riley. Is that everybody? Now, any declarations of interest? None. Okay. Now, the action sheet. Now, this one here, isn't it? 14-16. Now, do we have any action sheets 14-16? Yeah, this is for the June committee. So I would need somebody to approve or second, please. Should I say, is there any matters arising?
No, it's proposed, Chair.
So, Councillor Owen proposed. Second, please.
Second.
Councillor McGuinness. Thank you. Okay, now. Right. In front of the motions now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we're going on to the motion of dog fouling, and Sinead's going to read that out.
Thank you, Chair. And the purpose of this report is for decision, and it's to facilitate discussion on the notice of motion received from Councillor Howie as deferred from the Council meeting of the 7th of May. This notice was read at committee, and I'm just going to take through a report on some of the key issues. The notice has been broken down into a number of different sections. So, first of all, dealing with the reporting of dog fouling. So currently it can be reported through by telephone or email to the Council, and information and advice is available on the Council website regarding responsible dog ownership. Officers have undertaken a review of methods of reporting across the 11 councils, and noted that one other council has a dog littering, and dog fouling and littering can be reported through a reportable app. Four provide an online reporting form, and the six remaining council complaints are reported the same as Newry Moore and Down District Council by telephone or email. So it's recommended that officers would develop in the first instance an online reporting form for residents and elected members to report these issues while exploring alternative digital options such as apps. The report contains some information in relation to the number of complaints that have been received over the last 18 months. So a total of 355 complaints have been received from January 2023 to July 2024. And members will see that there's a variance in terms of trends and numbers of complaints that are received through. All complaints are investigated, and where multiple complaints are notified through from the same area, enforcement patrols are currently undertaken. Further trend analysis can be undertaken of this data to identify particular hotspots or problem areas to inform education and enforcement focus. Moving on to the litter bin aspect of the notice of motion, the cleansing team, as members are aware, have carried out an analysis and GIS mapping of the litter bin provision across the district. So the complaints that have been received can be undertaken in terms of further mapping exercise of where complaints are received against litter bin provision to assist with determining if there's further provision required. The report then addresses education and communication, and there have been a number of successful campaigns regarding responsible dog ownership, and these have been issued through social media and billboard campaigns. And Appendix 1 contains some of the details of recent campaigns with an overview of the reach and engagement of these campaigns. Officers are currently working with Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful on a further dog fouling campaign, which will be launched in the autumn. And as part of that campaign, officers will be working with the DEA officers to ensure communication rollout across the district. Members are reminded that in the past, officers have used stencils as a method of communicating the need to clear up dog waste and highlighting fines, and these have been applied in the past. The stencils are currently being reviewed and procured, so this messaging can be reapplied in areas throughout the district, and that work will be undertaken in cooperation with DFI. Resources are highlighted in the report, and we just would highlight to members that a number of vacancies do currently exist within the S&E Directorate that have responsibility for enforcement and education. These posts are being prioritised for recruitment, and they'll be key to developing a long-term education, communication and enforcement plan, which will have a focus on responsible dog ownership and reducing dog fouling incidents across the district. So the recommendations are laid out in section 3 of the report. Members are asked to note the report and approve the development of an online reporting form for residents and elected members to report through dog fouling issues while exploring alternative digital options for reporting of dog fouling and other complaints to the department, and to undertake a mapping exercise of identified hotspots or problem areas against current litter bin provision to determine if additional litter bins can be provided to assist with the disposal of dog fouling. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Harry. Sorry, Councillor Campbell. Is Councillor? Oh,
yeah. Sorry. Sir, I'll.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Apologies.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I will keep this brief, and the motion and the recommendations will be proposed by Councillor Young and seconded by Councillor Campbell. I do want to thank the officers for their comprehensive report and express my full support for the recommendations outlined. Dog fouling is an ongoing issue that impacts communities across our district, making certain areas unpleasant and at times unsafe. As councillors, we often find ourselves addressing this persistent problem. As noted in the report, residents can currently report incidents of dog fouling via email or phone, but I'm pleased to read that in this report that officers will now be developing an online reporting form. This initiative has the potential to make it easier for residents to report dog fouling, and hopefully will be a useful tool to help enforcement officers identify hotspot areas and better inform decisions regarding placement of bins or the dog fouling stencils. Beyond enforcement, responsible dog ownership is crucial to preventing dog fouling in the first place, and I'm very encouraged to see that the Council are actively engaging in this conversation through social media, billboards and their upcoming campaigns planned for the autumn time. I do have a few questions for the officers. First, regarding the online reporting form, once that becomes operational, will this be promoted through our social media channels to ensure maximum awareness? And secondly, There was mention in the report regarding enforcement officers. They are obviously vital in tackling dog fouling across our district. I understand there's currently vacancies in these posts, and I'd just like to know how many enforcement officers we have at present, the areas that they cover, and whether the Directorate has an estimated timeline for filling these vacancies to tackle dog fouling in the future. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So in relation to the online form, once that's developed, we will pilot that, and we will promote that, inform members that it's available, and put that out through the normal channels. In relation to enforcement officers, we do have a number of vacancies and temporary posts. That is part of the prioritisation, the prioritised work we're doing in terms of the recruitment. It is difficult to put a timeline on that, and we do try to fill the gaps with temporary agency staff where we can. We also have a number of seasonal posts, and we're looking at how we can more successfully utilise those resources. Generally, for a recruitment exercise from start with somebody appointed takes about 3 months, and we have a small bit of work to do before that. So I would anticipate that we should start seeing those posts being permanently filled early January. Thank you.
Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to thank Councillor High for bringing the motion to Council. I think it's worthwhile. I think it's something that you address on a daily basis as councillors. I welcome the idea that we have a digital platform in which we can actually make these reports in. I think it would be a more efficient use of council resources as well if we have that. Also, especially, it'll allow us to utilise those resources to identify the hotspots. So I think it's beneficial, and I welcome the recommendations within the report.
Councillor Finn.
Yeah, just to say again, to echo what Councillor Campbell said, thank you to Councillor Howie for bringing this. I think it's something that's really important, and I'm sure every councillor within the chamber this evening has received some form of complaint about this in a personal or professional capacity. In relation to the education and communication, and thank you so much for bringing such a comprehensive report. In terms of working with our DEA coordinators, I know that the council had recently done a Right to Food campaign poster, and I wondered if it was something potentially that we could look at partnering potentially with primary schools or local schools within the area. I know certainly, and I can't remember which of the councils it was down in the south, had worked in collaboration with schools to make creative posters or stencils for areas, which then allowed there kind of to be ownership over that issue, and something that isn't necessarily, you know, one of the most fun topics to necessarily discuss, but it then gave that opening and that ownership over that campaign within the area. And I just wondered, is that something that we might be able to look at? Because I think it would actually be quite a nice thing that we personalise that campaign within the district, and then it kind of, I suppose, as we were talking about recycling earlier, potentially then children are saying to parents about, if they're not picking up dog waste and that kind of thing, you provide that avenue through that. So I just wondered, is that something that could be explored as an additional step that we could take?
Councillor Taylor.
Yep, thanks, Chair. And thanks to Councillor Howie for bringing forward the motion and obviously the preparation of the report by officials. I suppose that, you know, it's an issue that we've discussed probably many times over the years in Council as to how we could try and eradicate or at least reduce the problem of dog fouling across the district. And I think the online app will certainly encourage more people to report the problem that exists, because just looking at the figures, that, and whilst there's obviously a variation in months, you know, in terms of the level of complaints raised, I actually think it's quite low in many ways and doesn't reflect how actually widespread the problem is, particularly over the recent months, whenever we're in the summer period and people are out walking more and stuff, and actually we're at our lowest number of complaints. And I don't necessarily think that's as a result of, you know, better practice being, you know, in place. And certainly we as a councillor have been trying to do what we could to try and resolve that. But I don't think it's made that things are a lot better. Yeah, but certainly from the concerns that I received, that, you hear of problems across various areas, and certainly my own DEA and again across the district. So if this helps, obviously, give a better reflection of how widespread the problem is, it allows us then as a council to more maybe focus resources, but indeed even the online promotional aspects of the campaign that we have run previously, even with Facebook and other social media forums, you can actually target particular areas in terms of the way you can advertise and things like that. So if there are particular hotspots where maybe a focus can be, you know, driven towards that area for, you know, making awareness amongst the general public. But listen, there's a responsibility there in any with every pub owner to make sure that that doesn't happen. So that's obviously key too, that people take a responsible attitude in terms of whenever they are walking their dog, that they aren't allowing their dog to foul on the street, because that impacts on everybody else. So, but as much as possible, I think if we keep highlighting the issue, particularly through social media, because it's more cost effective for us, obviously, and it's a form of, you know, communication that most people use now. So it's maybe this new online system allowed us to be probably a wee bit more accurate and a wee bit more sophisticated in terms of how we target the problem in the areas that it's probably more prominent. So thanks for the work that has been done so far, and hopefully maybe as part of that, Councillor Howie, maybe once this online app is up and running, we could look at it in terms of a review of it in maybe 3 to 6 months to see, has it helped increase, you know, the complaints that exist? I'm happy to add that as an amendment, if that's okay, if you're happy to accept that.
Yeah, okay. You're turning a real light up. Okay. Councillor Young?
I would very much welcome and happy to propose Councillor Howie's motion. I would also agree with Councillor Finn about the prospect of maybe, you know, getting some sort of a project done with schools and out in the community as well. I think that's actually would be very useful. Just a quick question about the stencils. I know that there is a procurement for those, and that we haven't had them for quite a few months. I feel that the public have really embraced those stencils. They were very popular and somewhat very effective as well. So just wanted to know, do we have a timeline on when we will get those back? And are they solely for use for enforcement officers, or are they available to elected representatives or community groups or whatever? Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Councillor O'Mahon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I was just going to say something similar to David. I would go as far as to say that the statistics we have there are not a true reflection of how bad it is out there. They simply do not reflect it. I would say you could get as many complaints from one town, never mind the whole district, from what you're seeing there. People just aren't reporting it because they've given up. They're fed up with it. First and foremost, the responsibility lies with dog owners. It's not a council problem. It's an ownership of dogs problem. And they simply don't care, or don't seem to care, for the streets that they walk or the streets that they live in. And I think we all get it every week, somebody complaining about dog fouling in some part of an estate or in the town centre or along the seafront at one point. It's continuously there. There's a perception out there that we're not doing enough as a council. And I can see our guys out in the early morning sweeping the streets, cleaning the streets, and they come back a half an hour later after they've done it and there's dog foul. And the idea, when people get up and they walk about and they see the dog foul, they think, oh, nobody's bothered to clean it. But the stenciling was effective, and the year it was done in Moran Point did highlight it extensively to people, and I think people took it on board. But unfortunately, when we come up with a good idea, we seem to let it go to the left and we forget about it. And I think we need to be proactive, and I think we need to be continuously doing it. I don't think it's something that you can do 1 or 2 years and then let it go and hope that things stay the way they were. If you don't keep at it, then people will fall back to their old ways. And I think we need to almost embarrass people out of doing it. You know, we all live in these towns. We all live in these states, wherever it may be. Your neighbours, your friends, your family, they're the ones that have to walk through it. I had a fellow this week who uses a frame to walk on. And he says just walking around his own estate is impossible because of the dog dirt on it. The odd thing I would ask in relation to, it's one thing having the app for reporting it. Are we going to have a dedicated team? Or are we going to have dedicated people who will follow up on those requests and deal with it within a timely manner? Because I don't think people will be wanting to wait 2-3 days for something they got to be cleaned. They'll be looking at cleaned immediately. And it's just how we, it's one thing getting all the complaints in, it's how we are able to actually deal with them and make an impact out there. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Brennan.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Previously, I was aware that 355 number could have come from Drumminess itself over 18 months. But as Councillor Rowan said, people just don't report it anymore. There was a letter in the past that we could send out to the town or the residents just explaining that there is a fine levied against dog fouling when it's caught. And I think the last line of that letter to everyone was saying, if you don't have a dog, please just ignore this letter. Can I ask if that letter is still available? Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, I hope it's okay for me to come back in there. It's just following up on what Councillor Finn had said regarding working with schools. I know in Killay, the community association there had worked with the local primary school there, and the kids had got involved in creating sort of their own drawings or posters that were then sort of created to put onto the bins around the shoreline there. So just an idea of sort of something similar, or even with the community groups, because they've been, you know, working quite closely with some of the schools on projects like that.
Thanks. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Chair. So just coming back on Councillor Finn, this is the first question in relation to education, communication and partnering with the primary schools. So the Council's sustainability team currently run an annual poster campaign, and the focus on that varies, you know, through environmental and sustainability issues. Certainly in the past, through that poster campaign, dog fouling has been an issue that's certainly been picked up by the kids, and the posters have been designed around that. We can take a look at that particular competition and work that's going on in the background by officers in relation to that. The poster competition is take an opportunity. You know, we've put posters on billboards before. We have our new suite of bin lorries, and we're looking at decals and potentially taking the posters from the poster competition to put them out. So it's personalised, that message, and being designed by the young people within the district. So that's something that officers are looking at in the background. So just to inform you on that. The next query was Councillor Taylor, and similarly reflected by Councillors Rowan and Brennan in relation to the statistics. And, you know, I would agree, when we looked at the figures, and they are very up and down, and they're certainly not a reflection of what happens out there. Our cleansing team, you know, take great pride in keeping their patch of the district clean. And, you know, I've spoken to staff on the ground who are really frustrated, as you say, after cleaning the street and the dog foul is there. If we look at exploring options of apps, you know, we can also look at the option down the line, providing our staff with devices that they can capture that as well. So we've got a fuller picture of what the issue is. And then that, again, that's flagging into the information room where the hotspots are, and enables us then to tackle that. So I just wanted to mention that. Reviewing the impact, you know, we can look at the before and after statistics. The question then from Councillor Young in relation to the stencils. There's been recent communications from DFI in terms of applying the stencils, because we have responsibilities, you know, for cleansing the footpaths, but DFI have ownership for them. So we are in conversation with DFI around, you know, ensuring that we have permissions in place before we go and apply the stencils. So at the moment, I'd say that we would be asking for permission for officers to apply that, and we can certainly look at whether that can be rolled out wider or not. The letter to the residents that Councillor Brennan referred to, we'll take that back as an action to review that, and if
We know that the dog wardens, when they're following up on dog fouling and dog straying, that's something that they'll certainly do, is they'll if they can't identify the residents, they will put letters through particular areas. So it's probably a similar letter that would have went through. So we can pick that up as a takeaway. Okay. Turn off the points. Thank you, Chair.
That's a proposal from Councillor Young and seconded by Councillor Campbell. Okay. Okay. Okay, we'll move on. Correspondence from ARDS and North Down BC regarding additional enforcement powers is going to be read out by Sinead Traynor.
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to consider a correspondence that was received from ARDS and North Down Borough Council proposing the introduction of enforcement powers for councils to deal with incidences of bins being left on streets for prolonged periods. Just to note, our council left approximately 129,000 bins from residential properties across the council area each week, and can report that complaints about bins sitting out for prolonged periods of time are not common. Under section 3, you'll see the recommendation has asked that members are asked to consider if they support ARDS and North Down Borough Council's proposal, and if so, then the council will write to DIRA requesting for similar enforcement powers.
Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks very much for presenting the report here. And, you know, I have read with interest the contents regarding the introduction of enforcement powers for councils to deal with obstructions, you know, but I would have a couple of points of concern, and may be trivial, but I feel that they would be important enough, because, you know, bins, there has been instances where bins have not been emptied. For example, I know in my constituency in Rowell and Kildare, there was bins weren't emptied for 6 weeks because of the actions of parking. You know, and there was parking where the lorries couldn't get through. This on for weeks in end. And also there are many houses that the only access for them is actually taking the bin from the backyard through the living room and putting it on the street, you know. And in a lot of cases where that is the case, residents or occupants have just simply left the bin out the front door to save that hassle every fortnight whenever bin has to be collected. So, but you know, it's just I feel myself that, you know, that I wouldn't be happy with this, but I'd like to put on record that we'll not be supporting the recommendation along the line. And I think it's a bit my own opinion, you know. I've outlined instances, and I'm sure members may have similar views or opposing views to it, but I just feel that I can't support it. I do recognise there are problems with bins being left in streets. I do recognise that, and I do welcome solutions to try to resolve that, but there are instances that I've outlined that can't happen. But again, we won't be supporting the recommendations. So thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor McGuinness.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'd just like to put on record that Sinn Féin as a party, we will definitely not be supporting these proposals for all the reasons Councillor Andrews has highlighted there, but also the fact that some people just don't have anywhere else to put a bin. And as Councillor Andrews said, their cars parking on the streets is a bigger issue. They've nowhere else to park, but they are a bigger hazard in getting bin lorries in and out. And just for example, there's an industrial action taking place in ABC Council at the minute with the bins, and it has been going on for over 2 months now. And the bins are everywhere, and people have been told to leave them out. So, listen, residents can't win in this situation. To be honest, we don't even think this should have got this far, even. It should have been just binned. So we are totally opposed to this. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor.
Sure, sorry, I have no puns to make. No, sure, whenever I read it, actually, it's not an issue I've ever encountered. You know, and I'm sitting on my fourth term now, and I've never had anybody come to me to say there's a complaint about a bin sitting out. And it's like a lot of these things, the devil's in the detail. How do you actually define how long a period is acceptable or not acceptable? And again, you've already outlined the situation in the neighbouring district where, you know, when you see it on Facebook, all the representatives, where it's been 6, 7, maybe even the 8th week now where bins haven't been lifted in areas, and possibly under any legislation that would be drawn up or defined as a result of this. Somebody could, you know, potentially receive a fine or whatever, maybe whatever the punishment may be deemed. So I just don't see the necessity. And from my own point of view, I don't think it's not a burning issue in our district, so to speak. And it's been a, again, the vehicular issue has probably been more of a problem for gaining access, you know, for bin lorries and things like that, but certainly not this here. And I just would be very careful because, again, there's more, you know, households, more properties now, and sometimes the lack of space is a major issue, particularly in town areas. You know, it's they will have to be conscious about as well. So I just, it's certainly not an issue that I think it's particularly paramount or pressing for us. I wouldn't, certainly like the other parties outlined, be pushing for some sort of, you know, legislation to be applied in this regard. So,
Councillor Young.
I'd just like to concur with what my colleagues have previously said, and Alliance will not be supporting this.
Councillor McGuinness.
Sorry, thanks for letting me back in. Just briefly, I'd just like to say, like, it would be an impossible task. How would you ever enforce it? It would be a waste of time even bringing in legislation because it's totally unenforceable throughout. So,
okay,
thank you.
Mr. Jackson.
I sure. No, just to add to that, I mean, it's not something I've ever had a complaint about. And I think before you'd ever think about it, you'd need serious feedback from your constituents, you know. So I think it's a wee bit, yeah, wee bit early to be thinking about that. Thanks, Chair.
Come back in, Councillor Andrews.
Chair, just like to say that I would thank members for their contributions, and the concerns raised are valid. So again, we understand Ards North Down might have an issue in it, but as the previous speaker said, I'm coming in my 14th year as a councillor, and I've never seen or heard of this before. But look, again, I think the consensus is that we're not going to support the recommendation. But again, I'd like to thank members for their contributions to this paper. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for not supporting?
So proposed.
And so proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Campbell. Yeah. Okay, item 6, height restricting barriers at council car parks, and that's going to be read out by Connor.
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to update the committee on the proposal to reinstate height restricting barriers at council car parks located at the Square and Moran Point, and to install temporary height restricting barriers at Castle Park, car park in Newcastle during the Amgen Irish Open. So in relation to Square at Moran Point, in order to effectively manage our car parking capacity and traffic control, it is proposed to reinstate height restricting barriers to the two entrances to this car park. And in relation to Castle Park in Newcastle, in order to improve the traffic control and reduce the safety risks, it is proposed to install temporary height restricting barriers at Castle Park during the duration of the Amgen Irish Open from the 9th to 15th of September 2024. Chair, I'd also just like to give another verbal update if I could. There's been recent further engagement with Amgen, the event organisers of the Irish Open, and they have reviewed their car parking arrangements at Downs Road in Newcastle and are currently potentially releasing a further 70 spaces for the public parking during the event. So just moving on to recommendations, it's recommended that the committee members consider the report and approve the proposal to reinstate height restricting barriers at the Square and Moran Point for the installation of temporary barriers at Castle Park in Newcastle during the Amgen Irish Open. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Owen.
Yeah, I just propose that, Chair, and just to say that there's been a couple of issues lately in Moran Point over the last 6-7 months that would necessitate the need for barriers being put up, so it'll be welcome, I'm sure. Could I also have no problem with the other one as well for the Castle Park or whatever, but we were looking at a motorhome strategy, is it? Or where are we with that?
I'm aware, I think it was AHC Directorate had a motorhome strategy completed in draft. I'll try and find out where that's currently at, Councillor, and
that would sort of impact
back
our decision on how we manage these car parks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Young.
Yeah, I want to really refer to the
the Castle Park car park in Newcastle. I'm sort of speaking on behalf of my colleague, Councillor Truesdale, who's been dealing with the issues of camper vans for quite a while now. There's been a growing number over 5 years, so it's not a recent thing. And in addition to that, you know, there's it's dangerous and unsanitary. There's, you know, they're pouring their waste into the public toilets. And now there's caravans and tents joining the camper vans. There's fires being lit, barbecues being lit, etc. There are signs outlining the various bylaws, but they're not being adhered to. In terms of the barrier, the barrier is not actually an issue. The fact that it's temporary is maybe an issue, because this behaviour and these camper vans aren't just going to be there for the week that the golf's on. They've been there for a long time and they'll continue to come. And, you know, I know that Councillor Truesdale's had a lot of constituents contacting her. So is there any prospect that that barrier could be a permanent barrier rather than just for the golf? Because the camper vans aren't just going to not be there for the week that the golf's there. You know, they may not be there because the barrier's there, but as soon as it's down, they'll be back. Thank you.
I think that really needs to be considered in conjunction with the motorhome strategy that Councillor Larkin referred to earlier on. And, you know, Councillor Rowan referred to earlier on, and, you know, the implications of making those barriers permanent and, you know, the offsetting of the motorhomes and, you know, where do we displace them to? So I think, you know, the wider context really needs to be considered before that decision could be brought to the committee. Yes, and thank you, Sinead. We'd also need to consider and review how effective, you know, the placement of the barrier has been during the week of the open as well, and, you know, the issues that come out of that as well will be reviewed after the event. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for Finn.
Yeah, no, it's just to say, I suppose, in relation, I know Councillor Devlin had also mentioned that on this point it was the motorhome strategy, and I suppose if you put up a temporary barrier that for whatever amount of time that is, it doesn't actually solve the problem at hand there. So I do think it is the pragmatic approach. And I know something that Councillor Devlin has been looking at as well, and we've chatted about that in AHC, but I do just think it is important that we look at that long term, because, you know, it's not going to kind of shift the problem somewhere else, because it will keep happening. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Could I get a proposer, please? Councillor Rowan did propose, and seconder. Councillor Campbell. Now, the following items 7 to 14 will be taken in closed session. Items 7 to 14 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, NI 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Now, could I get a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session, please?
So proposed, Chair.
Councillor Andrews. Councillor Brenton, second. Give me a minute to go into closed session. Yeah. Whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 7, Christmas Illuminations 2024 Direct Award Contract for Testing. On the proposal of Councillor Rowan, second by Councillor Taylor, it was agreed to approve a direct award contract for the testing of the 2024 Christmas Illuminations in November 2024. It was also agreed to investigate the locations as highlighted by Councillor Hart regarding issues with Christmas illuminations and street lighting. Item 8, Direct Award Contracts, Facilities Services Contracts. On the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, second by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to approve the Direct Award Contract for a six-month period. Item 9, Business Case for the Procurement of Specialist Technical Advice. On the proposal of Councillor Campbell,
Second by Councillor Rowan, it was agreed to approve the business case to procure a contract for specialist technical services. Item 10, direct award contract extensions waste management. On the proposal of Councillor Rowan, second by Councillor Campbell, it was agreed to approve two direct award contracts as detailed at Appendix 1 of Officer's Report. Item 11, business case for insurance brokerage services. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, second by Councillor Jackson, it was agreed to approve the business case to procure a contract for insurance brokerage services. Item 12, report from Sustainability and Environmental Working Group on the 19th of June 2024. On the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, second by Councillor Young, it was agreed to note the report. Items 13 and 14, R21, Joint Committee Members' Monthly Bulletin held on the 23rd of July 2024 and in committee minutes of the 30th of May 2024. It was agreed the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, second by Councillor Young, to note the R21 Joint Committee Members' Monthly Bulletin of meeting held on the 23rd of July 2024 and in committee minutes of meeting held on the 30th of May 2024. Now, items 15 to 17 are for noting and I need somebody to propose and second. Proposed by Councillor Finn and second by Councillor Rowan. Okay, that's the end of the meeting. Thank you. Sorry, Councillor. Sorry.
A quick question just on item 17 there, the abandonment at Kearney Hall Industrial Estate. Is the abandonment actually within the confines of the industrial estate, or is it on? There's a wee disputed walkway there by the MOT centre.
Yes.
The business owner's trying to buy it, but it's used.
Mr. Hart, I'm just looking at the maps with as presented, so I'd need to come back to clarify that to you.
Will you please?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, everybody, that's the end of the meeting. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you.